was a blessing. Take your Bible and turn to John chapter number 3 this morning. Gospel of John chapter 3. The story is told of a radio conversation between a Canadian official and an American battleship captain off the coast of Newfoundland many years ago. It was a dark and foggy night, and the captain was sailing along in his battleship, and as they sailed along, the captain spotted a light directly in front of the boat. He quickly got on the radio and he said, "Please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision." The reply came on the radio, "I recommend that you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision." The captain said, "This is the captain of a United States battleship. I say again, divert your course." The reply again came, "No, I repeat, you change your course." The captain got upset and he said, "This is the battleship USS Missouri. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision." The Canadian official calmly replied, "This is a lighthouse. Please divert your course." I say that ship's captain got the wind taken out of his sails pretty quick, and I hope that he diverted his course. You know, it's easy to get to a place where we think we should have the right of way all the time. It's easy to have that kind of prideful attitude, but that's not an attitude that Christ would desire for us as Christians to have. And we see in the life of John the Baptist that John realized life was not all about him. I'm not trying to continue Pastor's series on John the Baptist that he's been going through, but this is something that the Lord laid on my heart a few weeks ago. John realized it's all about Christ. It's all about Christ. It's not about us. Look at John chapter 3, and verse number 30. And John says of Jesus Christ, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Let's pray as we get into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can gather today and look at your word for a few minutes. I pray that you would help us to have a humble attitude of exalting Christ and not standing in the way of what you want to do in and through our lives. Lord, I pray you'd help us to have the same attitude of you must increase and we must decrease so that you can get all the honor and glory for what you do in our hearts and lives. We thank you for what you're going to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to back up a few verses here in John chapter 3, and we're going to see John's priority. First of all, we see John's priority. Verse number 22, it says, "After these things came Jesus and his disciples to the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison." We see that John had a priority. John's priority was to serve God. John's priority was to do what God had called him to do. When the narrative opens here, we see John the Baptist preaching. He's baptizing people. He's doing the work that God has called him to do. He's serving God. He's fulfilling the purpose that God had laid out for his life. What was that purpose? Well, God had given John the responsibility to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He would go before Christ and prepare the way for Christ to come and preach in Israel. Hundreds of years earlier, the prophet Isaiah prophesied of John the Baptist. Isaiah said, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." In the book of Malachi, the prophet Malachi said, "I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." God sent John the Baptist with the purpose of preparing the way for Jesus Christ, for the Messiah, the Lamb of God. An angel told John's father that John would make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He was to preach. He was to prepare people's hearts to hear about Christ, the Messiah, the one who would provide salvation. The Bible says that John was a man sent from God. He was not that light, but he bore witness to the light, which was Jesus Christ. When people asked John who he was, he humbly said, "I'm just a voice in the wilderness. I'm just preparing the way for Jesus Christ." That was his priority. John was focused on revealing Christ to the people. Now, John the Baptist was a popular preacher of his day. The Bible says that people came out of everywhere to hear him preach and be baptized. In one of the other Gospels, it says, "There went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized, confessing their sins." People flocked to hear this man preach. I'm sure that some people came to see the spectacle of a man who lived in the wilderness, wore clothes made out of camel's hair, and ate locusts and honey. Now, I don't know what my wife is making for lunch today, but I hope it's not locusts and honey. But that doesn't sound very good to me. But that's what John the Baptist ate. That's who he was. He was a success in his time. He could have easily allowed his successful ministry and his popularity go to his head. But John simply said, "He that cometh after me is mightier than I." He said, "Whose shoes I am not worthy to bear." I'm not even worthy to carry the shoes of Jesus Christ who is coming after me. When Jesus came to John to be baptized, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John knew who Jesus was. He said, "He is the one you need to follow. You don't need to follow me. You need to follow Jesus Christ." And he said, "I am only here to point the way to Christ. He is who you need to follow." John even said to Jesus, "You don't need to baptize me, Lord. I should be baptized by you." Because he knew who Jesus Christ was. Now, John faithfully revealed Jesus Christ to the people of Israel. John proclaimed that Christ was the Lamb of God, come to take away the sins of the world, who would provide redemption through the shedding of his own blood. That was John's priority. His whole purpose was to fulfill the responsibility that God had given to him of bearing witness to Jesus Christ and exalting Christ before the people. John wasn't trying to build up his own ministry. He wasn't trying to build up his own reputation, his own popularity, but he only wanted to exalt Jesus Christ. Now, John could have tried to exalt himself and said, "Hey, look at what I've done. Look at all the people I've preached to. I even preached to King Herod, and I baptized all these people." He could have exalted himself if he wanted to. He was well known, but he did not get distracted by his success. He never took his eyes off of Christ. He said, "He must increase and I must decrease." John was interested in only one thing, and that was pointing people to Christ. Is that your interest this morning? Pointing people to Christ? That should be our focus. Showing Christ through our life, showing Christ to others. That should be our focus. That should be our goal. That should be our priority. Now, John even pointed some of his own followers to Jesus, and they stopped following John and they went and followed Christ instead. Look at John chapter 1 and verse number 35. John chapter 1 verse 35. It says, "Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus." They left John and they followed Christ. One of those two, it says in verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He went and found Simon Peter and they all followed Christ. And that was John's focus. He wanted others to see Christ instead of seeing him. He wanted others to follow Christ and he wanted to point others to Christ. John pointed his own followers to Christ and told them to follow Christ instead of following himself. That should be the goal of every person, pointing people to Christ, bearing testimony to the fact that Christ is our Savior and that He can save others as well. When someone hears us or someone looks at our life, who do they see? Do they see us or do they see Christ? They should see Christ. We must point people to Jesus Christ. John's priority was to serve God no matter what. He didn't let the success and the popularity and he didn't let his ministry get in the way of serving God. He was focused on Christ and Christ alone. He was faithful to that calling that God had given him. He did not get sidetracked. That was his priority. He pointed people to Christ. Secondly, we see John's privilege. John's privilege. John realized that God had given him the privilege of serving God. Serving God is a privilege. It's not a job, it's a privilege. And John recognized that. John said, I am privileged, I am rejoicing that I can serve God and do what he's called me to do. Go back to John chapter 3, and we see that John was content to simply be a voice in the wilderness, a messenger bearing the message of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus and John were both in the same area. They were both baptizing people, as we already read. Some of John's followers and some of the Jews got together and they started having an argument, a controversy about the baptism. And perhaps without realizing it, John's followers put him into a position of competing with Jesus Christ himself. Look at verse number 25. It says, then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come unto him. Now evidently, John's followers had a problem with what Jesus was doing. They basically said, everyone is leaving you, and they're all going over to the other guy and following him instead. They're saying, basically, they're following somebody that you baptized. You should be greater. They perhaps thought that Jesus owed his own success to John because John had baptized Jesus Christ. Now, verse number 27, John replies. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am him that sent before him. John's reply to this controversy was this. He said, God gave me the privilege of serving him. God gave me a responsibility of being sent before Christ. I am not the Christ. You remember that I told you I am not the Christ, but I'm the one who has gone before him to prepare the way. I am not the Messiah, but I am preparing the way for the Messiah. I am not the Christ. He was saying, it's only by the grace of God I am what I am. God is, in his grace, has given me this responsibility, this privilege of serving him, of representing Christ to the people. And it's only by God's grace that he's given me this privilege to serve him. It's not about me. That was his reply to this controversy. In verse number 29, John uses an illustration of a wedding. Verse number 29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, we would call the best man today, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He's saying Jesus Christ is like the groom at a wedding. This day is all about him. It's not about me. I might be the best man. I might be the one pointing people and drawing attention to the groom and the bride, but it's not about me. I am rejoicing for him and rejoicing in his success because this is not about me. Even before John the Baptist was born, he rejoiced in Christ. The Bible says that when Mary went to see Elizabeth, John's mother, Elizabeth said, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy, because he recognized that he was in the presence of Jesus Christ. That's amazing. John rejoiced that he was able to point the way to Christ. He didn't point to himself, but he exalted Christ and Christ alone. John did not resent what Jesus was doing, but he rejoiced. John's reply to this argument showed his allegiance to Christ, his recognition of who Jesus Christ is. John knew that he was simply a voice in the wilderness. He knew that he was simply a messenger with a message, a forerunner who went to prepare the way to tell people about Christ. That was his purpose. That was his privilege, to bring the message, not to attract people to himself. John realized that his ministry was given to him by God. John didn't say, I am what I am because of who I am, or because of what I can do, or because of anything else. But he said, I'm simply a voice pointing towards Christ. I'm simply here to exalt Jesus Christ and Christ alone. John realized that God had given him that privilege, and so there was no room for competition between him and Christ. John the Baptist had a powerful and a successful ministry, a far-reaching ministry. I mentioned already he even preached to King Herod, who eventually executed him. But John knew that he was insignificant compared to the one who is coming after him, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Son of God. John simply recognized the privilege that he had of serving God. John knew that all his opportunities came from God. And he said in verse number 27, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. He recognized the fact that God had given him that ministry and that opportunity, and he simply wanted to serve God in the way that God had asked him to. John was content with that. He was content to simply be a voice in the wilderness. He was happy to reveal Christ as the light of the world. He was delighted that he could point the way to Christ and exalt Jesus Christ, who had come to take away the sins of the world. He was happy to proclaim Christ as the long-awaited Messiah who had come to provide redemption for the people. He was content to be nothing and lift up Christ as everything. There was no jealousy. There was no envy. He simply counted it a privilege to serve God and fulfill his calling on his life. That's why he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. That was the theme of John the Baptist's life. That should be the theme of your life and of my life. He must increase, and we must decrease. He must increase, but we must decrease. Every part of John's ministry showed that exalting Christ and Christ alone was his whole goal. He said he wasn't worthy to loosen the shoelace of Jesus Christ. His priority was to keep Christ first and himself last. Is that a hard thing to do? Yes, it is. Our human pride, our flesh, our human nature gets in the way because we like to exalt ourselves. We like to be well thought of. We like to be up on a pedestal for everyone to look at how good we are. It's hard to decrease ourselves and exalt someone else, but Christ must increase and we must decrease. That should be the desire of our hearts today. You know, focusing on ourselves causes a lot of problems in life. There's a roundabout in our neighborhood that they just tore out, thankfully. Everybody thinks they should be the first one around the roundabout. They all want to be first, and because they're focused on themselves and trying to get to work or trying to go home or whatever they're doing. That causes a lot of problems, and somebody rear-ended somebody there a couple weeks ago because they were probably focused on themselves and trying to get there first, and that causes problems. But when we focus on Christ, our perspective changes. Do you remember Peter? When Peter walked on the water, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. And Peter had the great faith to step outside of that boat, and he walked on the water. What an amazing miracle that was. And as long as he kept his eyes focused on Christ, he was fine. He was walking on the water. But pretty soon, He got distracted. He started looking around at the waves and the storm and the wind. And he took his eyes off of Christ and he began to sink. And he had to ask Christ to save him. If we want Jesus to increase and ourselves to decrease, we have to keep our eyes fixed on Christ and on Christ alone. We have to focus on him. It's so easy to get distracted by the storms of life, by the waves, by all the things that are going on around us. It's even easy to get distracted by good things, things that aren't necessarily bad, but they distract us and divert our focus from where it should be. That's when we get in trouble. We start to drown, if you will. We must keep our focus on Christ and not on ourselves. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus Christ to increase in my life. When people see my life, I want them to see none of me. I want them to see all of Christ. I don't want my will and my power to be evident, but I want God's will and God's power to be evident in my life. And I hope that's the desire of your heart this morning as well. We must keep our focus on Christ and not on ourselves. That was John's attitude. He must increase, but I must decrease. How can we put that into practice in our life? How can we allow Christ to increase in our life, and how can we decrease? We must stop living for self and live for the Savior. We must crucify the flesh and walk in victory over sin and newness of our eternal life. We must throw down the idols of our heart and put God back on the throne. We must put off the old man and put on the new man. We must lay aside the sin which so easily besets us and run the race with patience, looking unto Christ. We must ignore the carnal and focus on the spiritual. If we want Christ to increase and ourselves to decrease, we must get rid of the works of the flesh and be filled with the fruits of the Spirit. We must not be conformed to this world, but we must be transformed by renewing our minds with the Word of God. We must put aside our own desires and follow the will of God. We must ignore our own wisdom and seek God's wisdom. We must leave our plans and follow Christ. We must empty ourselves of us and be filled with the Spirit. We must take our eyes off the earthly and set our affection on things above. We must humble ourselves and exalt Jesus Christ and Christ alone. He must increase, but I must decrease. Jesus Christ himself put it this way. He said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." If we want Christ to increase and ourselves to decrease, we must deny ourselves and follow Christ. We must exalt him. John counted it a great privilege to serve God. He was content to be nothing and let Christ be everything. Why? Because he knew what Jesus' position was. Number three, we see Jesus' position. His position. Verse number 31. It says, "He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all." John knew that Jesus Christ came from heaven. John knew that Jesus was not simply another man or just a good prophet or a good teacher, but John said he came from above, and he's above all because he is the Son of God. The things that Jesus Christ spoke of, he knew firsthand. Verse 32, it says, "What he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth." He talks about the things that he has heard and seen in heaven, speaking from personal experience. We see also that God sent Jesus Christ with a responsibility. In verse 34 it says, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. And God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." That means God hasn't just given him a little amount of the Holy Spirit, but it has come with the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 35, "The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand." John recognized the position that Jesus Christ had. John knew who Jesus Christ was. Yes, he was his cousin in earthly relationships, if you will, but he was the Son of God. He was the one sent from heaven. He was the Lamb of God who came to provide salvation for anyone who would accept him by faith. Jesus spoke God's word. He had God's Spirit with him. Jesus is from above. He is worthy. He is preeminent. He is above everything. The Bible says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. All things were created by him and for him, and without him was nothing made that was made. It says he is the head of the body, the church, that in all things he, not we, that in all things he might have the preeminence. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Bible also says, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." That's why he must increase and we must decrease. He is worthy. We're not. He is worthy of all the praise that we could give him. He is worthy to be exalted because he is God. He is worthy because he gave himself as a sacrifice, as a lamb for the sins of the world. He is worthy because he created everything. He is worthy because he is the Son of God. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy to be exalted above all. That's why he must increase and we must decrease. John the Baptist testified of the superiority of Jesus Christ. John knew who he himself was, but more importantly, he knew who Jesus Christ was. Do you know who Christ is this morning? Who is Christ in your life? What does he mean to you? If we understand who Jesus Christ is, we will humble ourselves and exalt Christ because he's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy to be exalted. He is worthy to increase. That is why John fulfilled his responsibility. That's why he proclaimed, Christ is everything and I am nothing. That is why he said, Christ must increase, I must decrease. In verse 36, we see Jesus' power. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We see that Jesus can give everlasting life to those who trust him as their Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. And we would certainly love to have someone sit down with a Bible and show you how you can know that Christ is your Savior, that you're forgiven of your sins and on your way to heaven. It says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. It's not about what we can do to earn our way to heaven. It's not about who we are to be good enough to please God. It's not about our works of righteousness, because God says all the good things that we can try to do on our own, they're filthy rags. They're worthless in God's eyes. The only way we can get to heaven is by trusting Christ and Christ alone. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the only way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way to have a relationship with God and have our sins forgiven is to trust Christ as our Savior. And if you have not done that, we would certainly love to have someone sit down with the Bible and show you how you can know that you're on your way to heaven. John recognized the position of Jesus Christ. John's greatest desire was to exalt Christ and Christ alone. John lived and died with that at the forefront of his whole life. And if you read through the Gospels, the focus is turned away from John the Baptist, and not much more is ever heard of him until he is in prison and eventually executed. He literally decreased and Christ increased. That was the focus of his life. What's the focus of your life this morning? Are you trying to increase yourself, increase your bank account, increase your status? Or are you trying to lift up Christ? Are you trying to exalt Christ? That should be our attitude. John realized his ministry and his life were not all about him. He said it's all about Christ. John's priority was to serve God and pave the way for Jesus Christ. John was privileged to be a messenger and point people to the Lamb of God. He understood the position of Jesus Christ, and he desired that Christ, the Lamb of God, would be exalted above all. Now, regardless of the calling that God has given to you or I, we must be content to be a voice in the wilderness. Excuse me. We must simply point the way to Christ. Regardless of how long we've been saved, or regardless of what we think we know about the Bible, we have to take ourselves off the pedestal and put Christ on the throne of our life. We must exalt Christ above everything because he is worthy of that, and we are not. We must take our eyes off of ourselves and focus on Christ. It's all about Jesus. Who do people see when they look at your life? Do they see you, or do they see Christ because you're trying to exalt Christ? That should be our desire. What is your attitude towards Jesus Christ this morning? Is he increasing in your life? Are you increasing in your life? Is it all about Christ? It needs to be. That's why John the Baptist said, he must increase. By the way, he didn't say, maybe he should increase, or someday I'll think about him increasing. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. Heads bowed and eyes closed, and let's pray this morning as we close. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful and thankful for your love to us. And we're so grateful that you would come and die on the cross for our sins so that we could be saved and have a relationship with God. I pray that you would help us to have the attitude that John the Baptist had. You must increase and we must decrease. Lord, that's a hard thing for our human pride and our human flesh to swallow, because we like to increase ourselves. We like to be well thought of. We have our pride and we like to hang on to that. But Lord, we need to have the humble attitude that you must increase and we must decrease. Lord, I pray that as we go about our life, our business here in this community, I pray that people would see Christ through our lives. Not that they would see us, but that they would see you and you alone and desire to have a relationship like that with you as well. We're so thankful for the work that you do in our hearts and lives. We pray that you'd help each one of us to allow you to increase and ourselves to decrease. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymnal and turn to number 469.